You are listening to the Biscuits and Gravy Morning Show with your friend and mine. Snicker, snicker. That's Jim Nelson on the other end away, pounding away with his gorilla-like hands on the keyboard. How you doing this morning, Jim?
As well as one can with those kinds of hands.
Right. You don't play guitar much, do you?
No, and I don't have hair on the back of my knuckles. It wears off when I drag them on the floor.
Yeah, I got to mention, the gorilla jokes are in no way brought about by the incident that happened last week. Where was it? In Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure.
I don't even really want to talk about that. That's such a stupid debate, incident, argument, whatever.
I saw a comment online where it said, and just like that, we stopped talking about the bathroom issue because a gorilla gets shot.
Yeah. You know what? And I said I don't want to talk about it, but here we go, right? what I got mad about was the pictures were kind of fuzzy when they came out of the little boy there by the gorilla. And there was a lot of people from the African-American persuasion. I say there was a lot. There was a number of them. I'm sure they don't represent everybody, saying that that wouldn't have happened if that had been a white boy.
Right.
Yeah, and if that wouldn't have happened if it had been a... I don't remember. It was just a stupid argument. But anyway,
Then you ended up finding out that, lo and behold, the parents were not, in fact, white.
Right, yeah. Just people tend to shoot their mouth off just to shoot their mouth off. Kind of like what we do here.
Yes. Except we get paid for it?
No. No. We do? Man.
In the form of a question.
Yeah, I have this pre-recording at where I work that I have clients that come in to listen. They take a test. And I play this pre-recording, and of course it's me, and of course, you know, when I do pre-recorded radio, my voice sounds completely different. And I always tell them, you know, if you ever hear that guy on the street, he owes me money.
Right.
So anyway, seen anything? Go ahead.
There's a line in the movie Beyond the Mask where a fellow walks up to Ben Franklin and says, "Are you Ben Franklin?" And Ben Franklin says, "That depends. Do I owe you money?"
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a great movie. And you were a part of that movie, as I recall.
I was.
What did you do?
I helped out with some of the fight choreography.
That's right.
And if you look very, very carefully in the tiny, tiny print, you'll see that in the production volunteers, third column from the right, about an inch down from the top, Jim Nelson.
Well, that's, you know, me. Right where it is.
I do. Hey, that was my 15 minutes of fame. I'm going to milk it for all it's worth.
I don't blame you at all. Don't blame you at all. So, seen anything good on TV lately?
Not lately.
No?
Well, not lately.
I think I was telling you yesterday, I watched a great show on Netflix the other night. I love history. I know that King James the First and the Sixth, they really named their people weird back then, authorized the King James Version of the Bible. But I never really knew much about the man till I watched this show. And, of course, you can't just watch a movie to find out about somebody's life and their character and stuff. So I started doing a little research afterwards, too. But the show was pretty good. It was called, I want to make sure I've got this right. What did I say it was called, Jim? Gunpowder, Treason, and Plot. And the first, it's two-part series. The first part is about Mary Queen of Scots, who was the mother of King James. And it goes all the way up until the end, where she turned herself into the English. And then at the beginning of the second show, it starts out with her execution 18 years later. I believe it was 18 years later. And then King James, of course, becomes the king of not only Scotland, but the King of England, bringing peace between Scotland and England for the first time in over 350 years. I did not realize how diabolical and evil, I'm not going to say King James was, but how he could be. He had his moments.
The thing is, a couple of things. First of all, that doesn't take away from God's hand in the King James.
No, Bible, absolutely not.
And I know that's not where you were going at all.
No. Hadn't even thought about it, Jim, but thanks.
But I will say this, that the point had been made many times over that in order to be in that position as a monarch, you had to have a mind for espionage. Quite frequently, your very survival depended upon it.
Absolutely.
In the case of James I or James VI, take it as you like, he had seen a lot of royals in Scotland killed before his very eyes in some cases. And so he learned very quickly that he needed to be rather cagey just to survive being a king.
I think a lot of kings that way were, because you never knew, you know, the peasants, those pesky peasants might overthrow you.
That or your cousin or your brother,
right.
Or, you know, it just goes on and on and on.
The chambermaid. Never knew. So I'm finding myself with a bigger interest in that time frame of 1500 to 1700 because of this movie. I'm actually looking for other movies of the same historical time frame. So that'll be fun. I'll see what I can find. Because I love history. You know I love history. I do a radio show here locally called The History File. I have friends that are historians. I told a friend of mine this week, he's a professor in Missouri in history. I said, I never considered myself to be a historian, just a groupie of historians. And he kind of laughed. He said, well, there's two kinds of historians. There's the academic, and then there's the public. And he said, you are definitely a public historian. And a lot of public historians, he said, know a lot more than the academics, because the academic historians just tend to get into the facts and everything else, while the public historians tend to relate it to modern day current events and things that are going on today. And that made sense to me, which I don't think I brought this up on last week's show, but I was doing some research I like finding history pages on Facebook, and I found one that was called Cold West Investigators. Actually, that's the name on the heading. It's actually a personal page of another guy, which I won't mention his name right now. If anybody wants it, they can ping me and I'll send it to them. But that's a Xerox term, ping me. Probably a corporate term as well. But this guy was talking about history right here in New Mexico, Billy the Kid, Pat Garrett, other things that had happened here, and some other cases too. And there was a post on there about Jesse James and somebody wondering if this was a true story that was mentioned. And he responded, I honestly don't know. Well, I happen to know a little bit about that story because part of that story was passed down through my family, and I actually know where some of the unknown characters in that story are buried. So I sent him a message and told him about it. We became pretty good friends. I had him call me, and turns out he lives down the road about an hour from me.
That's cool.
And not only that, but Jim, this is really, really cool. Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, smack dab in the center of Missouri, and you know I live in New Mexico now. The sheriff's department there, Miller County Sheriff's Department, he worked there about a year before I did. He was the chief deputy there. So we have a whole lot in common. So I am going to take my motorcycle sometime within the next month and a half or so and ride out there. And he promised to show me stuff he's got. I can't wait. I'm going to be like a kid in a candy store.
That's cool. When you get to walk the different places where history's occurred, I love that.
It is really cool. I've always wanted to go to the Holy Lands. To be honest with you, not so much anymore. Does that make sense?
What, because of current events and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
I had a friend that went a couple of years ago, and he actually took his bus, his Bible, on a tour bus, and it turns out where he was at in that part, there were some Muslims, and they about came unglued over that Bible being on the bus.
Yeah, I can see where that would happen. I really enjoy history, too, and not to give your dad a gratuitous shout out, but I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of very good history teachers, your father, Charles Kurtman, being among them, that has just really made history come alive for me.
Oh, yeah.
Partially because they end up taking it from being facts and figures to being very character-driven and realizing, no, these were real people. They lived real lives. In fact, I liked your father's class that he taught there at Midwestern.
Western Civ.
So well, I liked it so well, I took it twice. I did.
That's your story, right? You're sticking to it?
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I got
to
tell you, Jim, I had never taken a class from my dad outside of Sunday school or something like that, you know, until I went to MBC. And the first day of Western Civ, I was like amazed. It was like a whole new world was opened up to me, because I never knew my dad was that good of a teacher. I took history in high school, and it was just, here's the dates, this is what you got to memorize for the test. And I went in and I started hearing, you know, I don't remember my dad but a few times even opening our textbook. I remember him telling the stories. One particular thing was Peter the Great. He would talk about Peter the Great and how Peter the Great kept armies of giants and armies of dwarfs, and for his own amusement and entertainment would commission them to fight against each other. And how one of his hobbies was attending autopsies and making his generals attend with him. Do you remember that?
I do, now that you mention it.
There was one case where a general made a comment that Peter the Great must be kind of sick to want to do this. Peter the Great reached in and grabbed this cadaver's heart, held it up, and said, "You shall eat this now or you shall die." And of course he did. But you don't get that stuff in history books. You get it from reading books about history, but not from history books.
I remember stories that your dad told about, when Catherine the Great ascended in Russia, and that, oh goodness, I'm gonna slaughter this. I'm gonna fail history again.
You're gonna take it three times.
I'm gonna take it three times. I am. But I remember a story told about I want to say that it was Catherine's husband, that he was an idiot.
Uh-huh.
That he had no interest in running the country. That he just liked to tinker with clocks and whatnot. I remember stuff about that. I remember stuff about Rasputin and the conditions surrounding his death, that the guy was shot, clubbed, stabbed, hung,
yeah,
and eventually died
of exhaustion,
drowning. And they were able to tell that it was drowning because when they pulled him back up, there was water in his lungs, which meant he was still breathing when they put him under.
Right. Yeah, that's a fascinating story. That man was evil.
There's something weird and supernatural was going on behind that guy, and it wasn't clean or wholesome.
Right. Demonic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of demonic, did you hear what a great segue, right? Did you hear what happened to Cricket cell phone services yesterday?
I did.
Yeah, I got knocked out for about 2 hours. I have Cricket, and I love it. I was reading some of the Facebook posts about it, and people were saying, well, I don't have Cricket because I'm not poor. What's that got to do with it? I got it because it's the most affordable. Getting a AT&T contract to me is not the equivalent of driving a Cadillac. I'm sorry.
Right.
I try to save money everywhere I can, and you recently went through this yourself. You changed or got a new contract or something on your cell phone, got a new cell phone. But,
yep.
Hey, if you can get a service for $35 to $55 a month and have unlimited internet and unlimited talk and text, hey, you're doing pretty good.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's a fact.
I got to tell you, Jim, I recently splurged on my Cricket service.
Yes.
I did. $10 extra a month, I went ahead and went for the hotspot, which is kind of cool. If I drop Seth somewhere off, you know, to play or whatever, and I got to come back and pick him up, I'll come back earlier, I'll turn on my hotspot on my phone, and I'll sit there in my car and play with my iPad or check up on the news or something like that. I don't know if it's worth it yet because I only use it like two or three times a month, but I actually got it because I wanted internet at a job fair I was going to that I did not know if they would have internet. But
I see.
I like it, so I'm going to keep it for a while, and if I get to the point where I don't use it at all, then I'll cancel it. But I like Cricket. I was shocked. I was using my Cricket phone for a long time as my sole work phone, and the company I work for issued me another one, so it's a good thing that one came in handy yesterday. So, what service do you use? You don't use Cricket. You use...
I just switched over to MetroPCS.
And how's that working out for you? Happy so far?
So far, I'm happy. I just started mid-month last month.
Oh.
So I've only had it for 2 or 3 weeks, but so far...
Good coverage?
It's good stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
They definitely keep the prices reasonable.
Can you imagine a world without cell phones now?
I'm just easing into this, so...
Oh, you're a latecomer, huh?
I am a very latecomer. I had dumb phones up until mid-last month.
Dumb phones.
I had no smartphones.
Was your phone a flip phone? One of those little flippy phones?
Close enough.
Close enough?
Close enough. It was one of those that was set up with the little keyboard, the physical keyboard for texting.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You like a slider?
Yeah.
You know, one of the most annoying thing, and it can be the most comical thing, too, is you're sitting in church and somebody's ringtone goes off, their cell phone. And sometimes it can be hilarious, depending on what they have as their ringtone. I remember sitting in church a few years back, and the preacher was preaching. I don't even remember what he was preaching on, but it was really, really, you know, fire and brimstone preaching, and all of a sudden, just the good old boys.
Theme song
to the Dukes of Hazzard, and everybody, and the guy who had the phone is a big, burly, lumberjack-looking dude, you know, and we lost it, you know, so have you ever seen one of those, have you ever been in church when that happened?
Oh, all kinds of stuff like that, yeah.
You know, I just...
I'm waiting to see somebody fall asleep in church and have the ringtone be Mission Impossible. Staying awake, you know, is Mission Impossible.
Yeah, yep. Speaking of church incidents, I sent you the story last night about the guy. You want to talk about that?
Oh, goodness, what happened?
I got
really busy last night and...
Okay, well, I'll cover it real quick then. The Keystone Fellowship Church in North Wales, Pennsylvania has a tradition. Most churches have this tradition. You go in, you don't want to sit down right away. You want to mingle, mix, shake hands.
Oh, yeah.
So most people will go up and just set their Bible down to reserve their seat, right? Robert Braxton, age 27, wasn't going to have any of that. This happened on April 24th. He took a saved seat anyway. You don't do that in the church. Witnesses told the local TV station that one church member gently tapped Braxton on the shoulder to inform him of the tradition. Must have been a newcomer. Braxton snapped at him and became very disruptive. Another church member, Mark Storms, ended up flashing a gun and confronted Braxton, who punched Storms, adding, "That's not a real gun. What are you going to do, shoot me?" And Storms, contending that he felt threatened, he fired two shots and killed Braxton and was charged with voluntary manslaughter. So be careful about the pew you finagle.
I guess so.
Oh, hey, I just got an interesting related story. Dawn says, "I was in a service once when the preacher's cell phone rang while he was preaching it, and he answered it." I've actually heard that. How uncool is that? Preaching about the dangers of sin and hell, and excuse me a minute. My broker's calling. That's terrible.
There was, now you probably remember Kent Hovind.
Yeah. From Florida?
Kent Hovind.
The creationist?
Yep.
Yep, okay.
He showed up on America's Funniest Home Videos years back.
Oh, really?
He was officiating a wedding, and in the middle of the wedding, his cell phone went off. Now, I don't know if it was a put-on thing or not, but he goes, yes, Lord. Oh, you disapprove of this union.
Uh-oh.
Like right at the part in the ceremony where they say, if anybody has any cause to... Yeah. And that made it onto America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, like, wow.
Hey, I know that guy.
Unrelated to cell phones, but I once saw a video of a preacher that was really preaching, you know, hot and heavy, fire and brimstone. And he backed up against a flag, United States flag, and kind of a big guy, and his shirt tail was coming untucked. So he reached back to tuck his shirt tail in, and he tucked the flag into his pants. Well, he took a couple of steps forward, and that flagpole came down and almost knocked him out cold.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a serious flagpole.
Yeah. Flagpole faux pas? Faux pas? I don't know.
A faux pas? Yeah.
So, hey, we were going to get into these dollar items. We were talking about prepping last week, and we're going to get into these dollar items. I'm going to pull that link up real quick, Jim.
Hey, did you want to...
yeah, let's do the shout-outs.
Shout-outs? Yeah.
Go ahead, take it away.
All right, then. Well, we had an issue over at the house. We actually had a fire at my house. And Matt and Carrie McIntosh were kind enough to let me and my kids stay over at their place while we're getting some things corrected over at my house.
You're on a PC right now, right?
Well, laptop, yeah.
Okay, so you're using a PC in the house of a Macintosh. Interesting. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
But like to give a shout out to them and for their gracious welcome and the comfort they've offered me and my family at this time. Stuart James Takahashi Gray is listening in Cambridge. Richard Georgie, my martial arts instructor at the North End of Rochester. And Master Tony Collins of Akumaru Kempo is listening at this point.
He's the one in Missouri, right?
He is in Missouri. That's right. Near Nevada, Missouri.
Yeah, where I used to be a police officer many, many moons ago. So, all right. Any other shout-outs from you?
I don't think anybody... No,
okay.
Not for now.
I will shout out to Mr. Master Sergeant Paul Sanchez. He'll be coming up at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. I just listened to about half his show. He sent it to me, and we got it uploaded into the software that broadcast it. Man, that guy's good. You really ought to tune into him. It amazes me, for a one-hour show, one man by himself can talk nonstop like he does. When you can do that, you're good for radio, man. I'm telling you. I can barely do that with Jim on the other end. That's why, and he does this all off the top of his head, pretty much. Me and Jim have to sit here and work an Excel spreadsheet together, talk about topics. Right. And even when we do it, we're kind of scattered brain. What's next? Let's jump over here, you know. So,
Well, by the way, Tony Collins says, tell him, talking about you, I said, poor guy, he used to be a police officer here, LOL.
Yeah. I can tell you some funny stories about Nevada. I'll tell you one funny story. I had he's still working there. He was a corporal when I worked there. Jeff Baker was his name. He's a sergeant now, I believe, or unless he's been promoted more. But we got called to this house where supposedly there was a domestic or something going on. And we go into the house. I think it was a combination of a theft and an assault that happened in the street, and they ran into this house, these two guys. And we run in, and we've got our guns drawn. We don't know where they're at, if they got weapons or whatnot. And there was two guys. One had gotten out of the house, but the other guy was still in there. We didn't know it. We were looking for both of them. So we do the whole, SWAT team monkey tricks, sneaking around the house, tactically and everything. And we get upstairs, and I motioned to Sergeant Baker. I said, check under the bed. Well, he kind of bends down and peeks under the bed, and he sees a foot and an ankle. And he thinks the guy's dead. So he gets on the radio, and he's like, we got a body, Nevada. We got a body. And then the guy crawls out. He goes, "He's alive, Nevada. He's alive." I will never forget that. I love Jeff Baker. We had some good officers back then. I miss that was when I met my wife and ended up moving to the other side of the state. But yeah, Nevada's got a lot of history there. Frank James used to live in Nevada. I used to know which street he was on. I don't remember. Frank James, the brother of the notorious Jesse James. But anyway, yeah. Let's get into this. Here, I'm going to run down a real quick list of things you can buy at almost any dollar store to put in your bug out bag. There's actually, I think, 99 of them or 100. Yeah, 99. I don't know if I'll cover them all. Advil, aspirin, antacids, antibiotic ointment, antibacterial towelettes. I always like that word, towelettes. Automotive repair kits, hose clamps to spice. Baking tins, bandages. We were talking about that last night. You don't need the expensive Band-Aids. You can get the cheap ones that work just as good. Bandanas. Oh, here's a link, and I'll have to check this out. I didn't see this yesterday. Preppers have dozens of use for bandanas. I'll check that out later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Baking soda. Bic lighters, boxed foods, bungee cords. Oh, I love bungee cords. Cable ties. Bungee cords are a motorcyclist's best friends, by the way. Camping fuel, candles, canned fruits, canned meats, canned veggies, and, of course, can openers, car towels, chewing gum, clotheslines and clothespins, coffee filters. What can you do with a coffee filter besides make coffee?
It could be part of a water filtration system.
That's what I was thinking.
Yep.
Okay.
It helped filter out particulates and used to separate your different layers of filtration materials.
Okay. Huh. Let's see. What else is there? Compact mirror, obviously, for a signaling device. Condiments. I have a whole drawer of condiments. You know what I do?
Yep.
When I go to Taco Bell, this is silly.
Do it.
You know what I'm going to say, right?
I know what you're going to say.
What kind of hot sauce do you want? Some of each. They give me a bag. I use two of them, and I throw the rest in a drawer.
Yep.
And they're great when you're just frying up some burgers for a homemade taco or whatever. Just throw it in with the hamburger, you know? So,
last night, I took two packages of Diablo sauce, mixed it in with some mayonnaise, put that on my ham sandwich.
Work. I'll bet that would be good.
I like the Diablo. He's good.
Okay. I like the Green Verde salsa. That's my favorite Taco Bell sauce.
I'm going to have to circle around and try that.
It's good. Yeah, you might have to ask for it because sometimes, depending on where you're at in the country, they won't give that to you unless you ask for it. Moving right along, cotton balls, cookie tins, cough drops, cutting boards. Why would you need a cutting board? I don't know. Anyway, it's on there. Dental floss.
Imagine trying to cut up anything that you caught, trapped, fished, or what have you, without some kind of a backing. You're stuck doing this on what? A rock to dull your knife or the dirt?
True.
Nah. You want some kind of a work surface.
Sure, and Lord knows you don't want to scratch up your car hood during an apocalypse.
So, right. You're trying to find somebody to repaint your car after the ZA?
Right, yeah.
That's hard stuff.
Speaking of which, we had a car that used to drive through town that had the Zombie Hunters emblems and logos on it. It's pretty weird. Kind of neat to see, though. dental floss. I guess you could use dental floss for a fishing line if you had to.
Or stitches,
yeah. Digital thermometer, dish towels, dish rack, you're taking everything but the kitchen sink now, dishwashing pans, dog food if you have a dog. Chris says gravy train is about 50 cents a can. I don't know. You can bring a dog for emergency food. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. Duct tape. That's the gotta have right there. Drop cloth, obviously, for, you know, shelter or sealing windows or whatever. Earplugs. Yeah, okay. Oh,
and Carrie McIntosh says, and your wife will gripe if you don't have kitchen implements for the ZA.
Yeah. That's true. Elastic hair bands to be used for fire starting, it says. Elastic support. Well, we talked about bandages. This is a good one. Emergency cell phone chargers. Providing cell phone service is still working. Providing, you know, we talked about that earlier. But yeah, I have a couple of those laying around just in case. Those are great. And you can pick them up for anywhere from $5 to $15 at Walmart or Hastings or anywhere.
No, that's the ones with the...
they're just little...
That's ones where you... With the little battery-powered things?
Yeah, they're just little blocks. You plug them into the wall to charge them. Once they're charged up, you just carry them around for a while. If your cell phone needs a charge, you just plug your cell phone into it, and it'll start charging it. And some of them have emergency flash LED flashlights on them.
Very cool. There was something like that I saw where they had these little, about the size of the palm of your hand, solar panels that you could use to plug in and put a trickle charge on whatever.
Hmm.
Of course, I think, was it Denzel Washington in the Book of Eli?
Uh-huh.
Had one of those.
Which, that movie, by the way, was filmed in Carrizozo, about an hour from me. Great little place to visit.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. They not all of the movie, but a good chunk of it.
That was on accident.
Yeah. I didn't even know it until a couple of weeks ago. Me and Seth took a drive out there one Saturday afternoon, and we stopped at in a caboose that was the visitor center there on one of the street corners, and they had a mock-up of the setup. We were in another shop. It was a little antique clothing, run-of-the-mill, whatever they got, you know, used store, like a thrift shop. And come to find out, that building was used as the wardrobe department for the Book of Eli. Great movie, by the way.
Yeah, the language was a little bit rough in some places, but the overall message is a lot better than a lot of the stuff that's coming out of Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh,
very faith affirming.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. Let's get back on track here from the Book of Eli to Epsom salts, eyeglass repair kits. Those are very handy. Especially for those of us who wear eyeglasses, of course. Eyeglass cleaning cloth. Jim, you don't wear glasses, do you?
I do.
How do you clean your glasses?
With whatever's handy.
Okay. All right.
I usually huff on them and wipe it on my shirt or tie or whatever's handy.
I have used like the dollar store eyeglass cleaning solution that comes in a little spray bottle. But I've got two, and I'm going to plug them real quick, two bottles, huge bottles, of the glass cleaning liquid from Fuller Brush. Each bottle, I think, costs about $6 or $7. It will last you a year or more, each bottle will. And that's including if you're cleaning the mirror in your bathroom and on your cabinets or whatever, it'll last you a year. I've got two of them, and I've had them for a year and a half. I love it. Haven't run out of I keep one in the bathroom and one in the kitchen. Anyway, and they really, really do a good job. I use them on my glasses, even though they're not really made for that. But facial tissues. First aid paper tape for use with gauze. Flashlights. That kind of goes without saying. Feminine pads. They make great fire starters as well. A funnel for canning and for use with other fuels. Gauze. Gardening and work gloves, which doesn't necessarily mean you'll use them for gardening or work, but just anything you're doing, even if you're riding a motorcycle. I've used work gloves during the winter to keep my hands cool. They're not motorcycle gloves, but they're insulated. They work. Hard candies. They boost morale and provide energy burst for your bug-out bag. Hydrogen peroxide.
Coffee nips rock.
Coffee nips?
Coffee nips are awesome.
Hmm. Okay, yeah. I like that. What is it? Werther's?
Werther's are good.
Those are my favorite. I like those. You just reminded me of a terrible story, which might come up later. Talking about candy. Hydrogen peroxide, hand sanitizer, jarred food, instant ice packs. It's another good tool. Knives, of course, for the sheath, and knives for utility knives. Latex dishwashing gloves, latex medical exam gloves, lotions, a magnifying glass. Now, we all remember burning the ants up with a magnifying glass when we were about 8, right? Did you do that? Yeah.
Not too often, but
oh, come on. Fess up.
No, I did it.
Okay. Matches, mesh laundry bag, nails and screws, petroleum jelly for use as a fire starter, plastic food containers, playing cards for when you get bored or you need kindling material, plastic shoebox containers, rain poncho. You can buy those ponchos cheap. You can get a dozen of them for like $10 or less or more, whatever. Rubbing alcohol, safety pins, salt with iodine. Makes a great shaving lotion. I'm kidding. Don't do that. Scrub buddies. Sewing kits, shoelaces, soaps, socks. Yeah, you got to have extra socks. You got to. When me and Seth go out, we pass out some backpacks to some of the homeless guys in town. We always put a couple pair of socks in there because they are so grateful for those. Solar lights, a couple of spices, steel wool, sponges, sugar, super glue. Super glue makes a great instant bandage too.
Yep, I've used that many times.
Yeah. A nice, one of our favorite things, hat. You got to have a hat.
You got to have a hat.
Toothbrushes, not only for cleaning your teeth, but cleaning your gun or a pot or pan or whatever. Toothbrushes are great tools. Tote bags. You can never have too many of those. Those cheap little canvas bags that you get at the grocery store for like a buck extra, you know, there at the checkout. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, those are great. You can never have too many of those things. You don't want to put something too heavy into it and carry it for a long time because it will fail you. But for something to be used real quick and in a rush, great idea. Travel bottles, twine. Boy, they still sell twine? I haven't seen that in a while.
Yep.
Utility pail, buckets, and of course, bottled water. I'll say this, you don't want to keep your bottled water stored in the trunk of your car for too long. The sun and the heat breaks down the plastic components, and it can get into the water, and actually, if you drink too much of it, it can make you sick. I don't know if it can be fatal, probably could if you sat in there a very long time. And of course, last but not least, the 99th item is wet wipes. Those are great. Everything clean in your hands to your dashboard.
A couple of quick things. Here in Michigan, at a lot of the dollar stores, you'll see, what do you call it? At any rate, on the way towards mentioning Sterno, jellied alcohol that's used as the heat source for catered food tins.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In a pinch, you need a quick fire. Boom. That's pretty much guaranteed. The only difficulty you're going to have with that at all is alcohol does like to have a certain base temperature.
Right.
For burning. So if you're in sub-zero, you may have some difficulty with that. But one of the ways to deal with that is you stick it down inside of a number 10 can with some holes punched in the bottom so you got proper airflow. The heat starts to bounce around a little bit. And it sounds like it'd be dangerous, but it's not. Alcohol is really great for that. And it gets your alcohol in the Sterno up to temperature so that it'll continue burning for you, and it'd be a nice little heater.
Okay. Hey, Jim, let's take a quick break real quick, and then we're going to come back, cover a couple of topics real quick that I had posted in the promo, and then we'll go from there. All right?
All right.
Well, folks, don't forget to keep your emergency alerts on your smartphones turned on. It's a great way to stay informed of fire, floods, tornadoes, earthquake activity, and most importantly, Amber Alerts. You could just save a life. If you have trouble checking those settings on your smartphone, just ask the nearest teenager or visit your local wireless provider. Emergency Alerts saves lives. Coming up at 9 a.m. here on TheBigBasin.com, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez with Those Who Show Up Decide. This guy likes to talk, and he's really good at it. He's my friend, and I'm proud of him. Tune in and hear what he has to say. He doesn't want you to think like him. He just wants you to think. Have fun this week. Make some special memories with the ones you love, especially those kids. I promise you, they won't forget it, and you certainly won't regret it. Today's show is brought to you by Bubble Wrap Poppers Anonymous. They just can't help themselves. And also by the Willie Nelson Gardening Society, and they just want to say hi. Now back to those two everlasting gobstoppers, Jim and Jason. And we are back. Took a quick break. Jim, what are you drinking this morning? Anything? Did you get yourself a...
Working my way between some coffee and a bottle of water.
Oh, okay. I'm drinking Clover Valley, which is, I think it's one of the brands for one of the dollar stores. This is great, too. These are good if you got a cooler and survival. I'm drinking the pineapple coconut water. 0 calories. I try to stay away from... And I don't think this one has aspartame. It doesn't. I was on this kick where I was staying away from aspartame for a long time, but I kind of got back into it. But the Clover Valley drinks don't have aspartame. Aspartame will really mess you up if you body's not made for it. It just isn't. All right,
I've got friends that have real severe reactions to that.
Do they?
No, the Macintosh have been taking better care of me than I take care of myself. I've got some kind of mudslide coffee, they call it.
Mudslide coffee.
Yeah, it's some kind of
sounds appetizing.
It sounds great. It sounds terrible. Tastes great. It's got some kind of chocolate thing going on there. It's really good.
You should be a marketing man. Sounds terrible. Tastes great. Hey,
less filling. Tastes great.
Yeah. Couple things right now we're going to cover. Oh, let's get into. We got about 18 minutes left, and actually less than that, about 15 minutes left in the show. So, I always post the fluff that we're going to cover. We covered a lot of fluff today, but not the fluff I wanted to cover. The history of cops and their donuts. I love this, and I began to research how did cops become stereotyped. With their strong love and affection of donuts. And this actually goes back, Jim, almost 100 years. It really wow. does. During World War I, there was a lot of Irish soldiers who fought in the trenches. Not just Irish, but other nationalities, too. They would, in the morning, take their grease or whatever they had and fry up. These donuts out of the biscuit dough that the cook would have or whatever, but they would fry them in such a way. You know, you can take a can of biscuits and put it in a deep fryer, and it'll cook a donut. Have you ever done that? Made the biscuit donuts?
No, I never have.
Yeah, you just take a can of biscuits, open them up, poke your hole through the center of one of the biscuits, throw it in the deep fryer, let it cook till it browns, flip it over, cook the other side, and it is a donut. It tastes just like a donut.
That's cool.
Yeah, you ought to try it. Me and Seth did it, and we've even made our own icings and stuff like that, you know, with powdered sugar, milk, and made our own glazes and stuff. You can mix in a little bit of that Hershey syrup, too, and make a chocolate-covered glazed donut. Real easy
there
to make.
There you go.
But these guys in World War I would make these donuts up. Well, after World War I, a lot of them, particularly the Irish ones, who came from New York City, went back to New York City, and they got jobs as police officers. Well, those that worked the midnight shift, sometimes a lot of the places that were open were just the overnight bakeries. You know, they'd stay open to get up early and make their breads and pastries and stuff for the day. And these cops would go in, and they showed them how to make the donuts, and they would come in and order bags of them or whatever, and that's how cops... became stereotyped with their donuts. And when I was a police officer, I made it a personal commitment to never be seen eating a donut. in this day and age, it will go. A picture will become viral. I do like donuts. I love donuts. Not because I'm a cop,
Jason,
just because
say
I'm,
it isn't so.
I love donuts. But I actually had I made the comment one time to a lady in town that owned a restaurant, and that I don't eat donuts in uniform. Just don't do it. Now, if I'm going to training or something, there's a small room with a few cops, you know, like in a training session or something, and somebody brought a box of donuts, I would eat one. But if I was out in public, I would not do that. And was actually in a convenience store one time, and the lady that I made this comment to was in that store at the same time, and she was kind of following me around, and I said, can I help you with something, Katie? She says, no, I'm just waiting to see. I got my phone ready. I'm waiting to see if you buy any donuts. So,
oh, no.
Yeah. So, nope, not going to do it. So, but yeah, that's how cops got the stereotype of being such, having such a fondness for donuts. I tell you what, you mentioned you had a house fire earlier. I'm going to tell you my house fire story, Jim. It created a very weird Christmas Eve tradition in our family that still holds true to this day. The tradition does. This is weird. This has to do with
Christmas Eve tradition of changing batteries in the smoke detectors.
Our Christmas Eve dinner in our family, in the Kurtman family, consists of shrimp pizza because of this house fire.
Interesting.
Just real quick, it was a week or so before. No, about a week or less before Christmas, me and my dad came home from doing some shopping, and there was a bunch of fire trucks and police officers in our driveway. And we ran inside, and apparently my sister was babysitting my other brothers and sisters, and there was a grease fire in the kitchen. Burned the kitchen shell out, just the whole shell of the kitchen and everything. So we didn't have an oven, a stove. None of the food in the house was any good anymore. So somebody loaned us a little tabletop, one of these Black & Decker type ovens. And we're going to cook Christmas dinner in it. Well, a ham or a turkey wouldn't fit in it. And Mom went out in the garage and opened up the freezer. And there was some frozen, like, Totino's pizzas in there and a bag of shrimp. So she decided to put the pizzas in the oven and sprinkle them with shrimp to add a little flavor because they were just cheese pizzas. So anyway, that became our annual tradition. But the following years, it wasn't the frozen pizzas. Mom would make up a homemade one from scratch and put shrimp on it.
Nice.
So that is the Kurtman family Christmas Eve tradition. So I didn't do it last year. I didn't. I was going to, and I just didn't. I'm going to do it this year, and Seth and I will partake of that. So
now that we've mentioned it a couple of times, we've got a public service announcement about fire detectors, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm gonna check on this too. There is a website called getasmokealarm.org, and I'm actually gonna put a link on it on our blog later on today. Speaking of which, we need to find somebody else to help me with that blog, Jim. But anyway,
hint, hint.
Yeah, hint, hint. Is that your phone or is that mine? I hear a phone ringing in the background.
That's on your end.
That's Seth. Seth says his phone's ringing. Getasmokealarm.org. Now, there are some restrictions on here, but if you live in certain areas, you can actually petition a request from the Red Cross a free smoke alarm. It's pretty neat. I didn't know anybody did this. So, and if
not necessarily available everywhere, but
right, it does say that if your location is not listed, call 1-800-RED-CROSS to be connected to your local Red Cross chapter, and maybe they can see what they can help you with. Getasmokealarm.org. When we post the show up on the blog, we'll definitely provide a link to that. We'll also provide a link to the dollar items and a few other related websites, maybe. Todaysfullerbrush.com. Great. That's a great one. We talked about the glass cleaner. So, good stuff. Let's see. What else did we... let me go back to... What else did we say? Oh, the National Days. We got to cover the National Days this week, Jim.
All right.
You want to take... You take the first one. Today. What is today?
Today, June 4th. National Prairie Day, first Saturday in June, National Safe Day, National Cheese Day.
Ah, there we go, cheese. I like cheese.
All the people in Wisconsin are going, yay, it's our day.
Right.
A National Cognac Day.
Drive-by cheesing.
It's a drive-by cheesing. National, hello,
yeah.
National Old Maids Day. See how I just flowed that right to you?
Right.
A National Trails Day, which is the first Saturday in June, and... Take it off.
Okay, well, National Trails Day. I might have...
Take off with it.
Man, we got some great trails around here. June 5th, Sunday, National Gingerbread Day, National Cancer Survivors Day, And for those of you who are too sick to make it to church tomorrow, I don't know where I was going with that. National Moonshine Day. I was thinking something along the lines of communion, but National Moonshine Day. Huh. Okay. Your turn.
Oh, where are we at? Where are we at?
Monday.
June 6th, National Eyewear Day. National Higher Education Day. National Applesauce Cake Day. National Drive-In Movie Day. National Gardening Exercise
Day? Willie Nelson says hi.
Oh, okay, yes. And one that has its ups and downs, National Yo-Yo Day.
Yeah, yeah. What? Where do they come up with these? Applesauce Cake Day. I like applesauce cake. But Drive-In Movie Day. How many drive-in movies are there in the world? Or in the country? I bet there's about, on average, one or two per state. That's my guess. We'll have to do some research on that. I got a friend that does a radio show called Dudley's Drive-In. I might ask him if he knows that. June 7th, National Chocolate Ice Cream Day. It's also National Video Cassette Recorder Day. That's like technology that we just don't use anymore, isn't it? Didn't that go the way of the 8-track?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I was just talking to a friend of mine from New Zealand last night, and talking about all the martial arts videos that I have that are still on VCR.
Oh,
on
really?
VHS tape. Yeah.
Okay, Wednesday, Jim.
National Best Friends Day.
Woohoo!
National Name Your Poison Day. National Upsy-Daisy Day.
We really got to do some research on these and find out what they're all about.
We might need to do some checking.
National Earl Day. That one, okay. This one boggles my mind. Why do we have Thursday, June 9th, National Donald Duck Day?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I can't do Donald Duck. And here's a good one. And I got to find this. National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day.
Yes, this is a holy invocation. The strawberry rhubarb pie.
Nobody around here, I don't think, has ever heard of rhubarb pie. At least nobody here that is from here, I should put it. Me and Seth went to a barbecue restaurant last week, and we it's a great place called Can't Stop Smoking Barbecue. It's kind of like you walk up, you point to the meat you want, they put it on a tray, kind of like a cafe style, but it's a really cool place. Anyway, we go back to our seat and we're eating, and I hear one of the clerks talking to another clerk. And he said something about strawberry rhubarb pie. And I was like, I lit up. Do you have rhubarb pie here? Do you have strawberry? No, we don't. I was just telling her about it, eating it as a kid. And I was like, man, I like strawberry rhubarb pie, but I like rhubarb pie too. My dad used to raise rhubarb. And the one thing about rhubarb, I am told, and I've been told this by different people, that if you eat it raw, it is poisonous. Have you heard that?
I've heard that, but I've also taken bites of the stuff raw.
Maybe it's in certain amounts. I didn't know you'd...
It might be a quantity thing in some cases.
So maybe it doesn't kill you, it just makes you...
When you're saying, Jason...
Okay, be careful now.
What are you saying to me?
Dawn says rhubarb doesn't grow well down there in the South. I don't think so. I think it's got to have kind of a little bit of a cooler climate. But I love rhubarb pie.
There are some plants that will have toxins in them when they're younger,
uh-huh.
And then actually grow out of it.
Oh wow!
There's an herb called comfrey that has been linked to certain poisons, to certain incidents of poisonings when people's cattle would eat the young plants. But it's actually a fantastic flesh mender.
Okay.
To put on wounds, it helps accelerate healing.
Oh.
And you can actually take it internally, and it's beneficial in that way. But some of the younger plants, they have certain alkaloids in them that you want to avoid because they can kill you.
Right.
But when they mature, those alkaloids are gone.
Go on to June 10th, real quick. We got a couple of things to cover still, so we've only got about...
National Ballpoint Pen Day, yeah. National Black Cow Day,
aww.
National Herbs and Spices Day,
and
here we go.
It's a good one to land on.
Iced tea day.
Goes great with that rhubarb pie, I'm telling you.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I love iced tea. I picked up some grocery store sweet tea last night. Took it home, took a sip of it. that thing is a syrup. I actually, yep. I took some bottled water and mixed it in with there, and it tastes perfect. So, which...
Oh, you know what? Stuart James Takahashi Gray says, what? Rhubarb pie is a family tradition. I have it growing in my backyard, and I eat it raw.
Okay, so myth busted right here on the Biscuits and Gravy Morning Show. Okay, one more thing. I'm going to play this real quick. We've got like 4 minutes left in the show. This is a one-minute clip talking about Donald Trump, one of the protesters. I found this yesterday. This is unbelievable. I'm going to play this, and then we'll come right back.
Thank you. Can you tell me a little bit about why Trump being here, in him speaking and you wanting to stop him, why that's so vital to you that you basically attached yourself to others and are blocking the street? Why are you here doing this?
Well, this is the Bay Area. This is where I live. And I don't want anybody coming into where I live and talking about killing people or hating people or deporting millions and millions of people. I don't want to talk about making this country into a racist, homophobic, sexist place. It's just not going to happen. And that to me isn't free speech. That's, you know, people are being killed. It's more than that. And so I want to stop that. That's why I'm here.
Wait for
it. So the primaries in California are June 7th. Who are you voting for?
I'm not voting.
Tell me why.
I'm not a citizen. I don't
think people, unless they're working to get here, be here legally, have any right to protest any of our presidential candidates. And even then, that's debatable. Just crazy. She's not a citizen. Oh, next. That's my opinion of that. Anyway, let's see. We're at 7 minutes before, or 3 minutes before the hour, Jim. Was there anything else we need to cover real quick?
Well, nothing I'm seeing here. The only thing I'll say on the way out is if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, check out thebigbasin.com. Don't forget my buddy Paul Sanchez coming up in an hour. You ought to listen to at least the first half of it. You ought to listen to the whole thing. But, you know, I know how internet radio is. People tune in, tune out. That's fine. But check him out. You'll like him. You'll really, really like him. He'll be talking about Donald Trump a little bit. Good stuff. Also, if you have Roku, Jim, we might have to give away a Roku this summer. As part of that would be cool. Cause I can get them fairly cheap here where I live, and they're great. I love them. Roku, you plug it into your TV, you get internet channels galore. And the Big Basin has a Roku channel. So, anyway, we will see you next time right here on the Biscuits and Gravy Morning Show. Don't forget who loves you, Jim and Jason, the everlasting gobstoppers. Now back to our regular scheduled programming.